Let's welcome everybody officially. This is June 26 and 22. Wow. Where in the world have we been? What a journey. Thank you, Father. I sent out a little question, maybe a thought, something to ponder that I ran across. I'm not sure if it kind of grabbed any of you like it's grabbed me. Interestingly, Scott, we had no awareness, but Scott wrote about almost the same idea in his blog, which I
linked. That was there was no happenstance coincidence that I wrote about that yesterday.
Well, not that we're very much.
I think he was kind of leading both of us.
Like minds. My thought and what I was pondering comes from Galatians 3. And
why don't you read that?
So he says, verse 27 of the third chapter, "For whoever are baptized into Christ, put on Christ, in whom there is no Jew, nor yet Greek. There is no slave, nor yet free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus."
Mm-hmm.
Does this mean that we are nobodies?
Mm-mm.
No, even back in Paul's time, you remember with Jesus with the woman at the well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he wasn't even supposed to be speaking to her.
That's true.
If you think about it.
There was very, very distinct class and ethnic barriers.
And if you think about it, they faced the same racial stereotypes back then as we do today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe not as in a larger, bigger extent, but it was still prevalent back then.
Well, in the context in this letter is the distinction between Jew and Gentile, or Jew and Greek.
Yeah, believers and non-believers.
Mm-hmm. And for a Jew, which Paul was,
mm-hmm.
he's very aware of that previous mindset that he himself had.
Well, this is what gets me, because I've read a few of Paul's letters recently,
mm-hmm.
and Paul does a good job of continually referring back to his days in the Jewish faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the back of my, I have to assume that in the back of his mind, he still holds on a little bit to that. That training that he had before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it does kind of influence him a little bit.
Yeah. Is there no longer a Jew or a Greek?
No.
Is there a male, female?
No.
Beth, are you just not a female anymore?
God created both. The scripture does say he created male and female.
Okay. But does that all go away in Jesus?
I bet the left loves this passage. the way I see it, because he distinctly created us. But it's like when you're of one accord, when you're with like-minded someone else who is in Christ also, it doesn't matter. All you see is Christ, and it's not, the focus is not the individuality or whatever. It's the fact that you have a kinship with
mm-hmm. someone. Mm-hmm.
Do your physical attributes go away after you're married?
Heck no.
So there's still a difference there.
Absolutely. He doesn't.
Is that why you haven't married yet, Scott?
Huh?
Is that why you haven't married yet?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to put up with the I'm not going to put up with all that comes with it. It's, you know,
it's... you're afraid you would lose your individuality?
Some people are smarter than others.
You said in your post, there's this quest. How'd you say it? We're, all humans are on this quest for individuality.
Now make sure you put the caveat in there.
So what did you mean by that?
Make sure you put the caveat in there that you and I both agree on this, on that statement.
Well, yes, I essentially agree, but I want you to expound more on it. What were you meaning by that?
Sorry, what was the question? that mankind keeps on attempting to hold on to his individuality.
Right.
Which is what we all do.
Okay. Now, give us some examples. What do you mean by hold on to individuality? Give us an example in your mind.
I'll give you a good prime example, which was pop culture for God knows how long. A little phrase out there that we've all seen. It said, seize the day.
Okay.
Well, if God is in control of all that we do, if Christ is in us and he works mm-hmm. through us, mm-hmm. how is it that we can be individualistic enough where we are in control of what we do?
Okay. But yeah, but the context that I think you were referring to in your post had to do with our individuality as far as identity.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem that we have today with a lot of people who being confused as to how to describe that identity by a pronoun or opposite sex or.
We're going on two different issues here. When I wrote that post yesterday, mm-hmm. what I was doing was referring to the current culture.
Sure.
That kind of uses pronouns to describe who they are.
Right.
And you notice how I titled my post from yesterday. Mm-hmm. I titled it Me, Him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, sure. Kind of a, mm-hmm. you know, to associate with.
Yeah. So my question again, though, is what is the drive in mankind that wants to be described as me, him?
There's one pure driver, is the people who believe that they're independent, that they are individuals,
mm-hmm.
have yet to have the revelation that we have.
Okay, and which is?
Which is that Christ is the one who controls it. Mm-hmm. That we have no mm-hmm. we have no control in what's mm-hmm. what's going on.
Now, according to Paul, if he says baptized. Now, whether that's a literal, figurative, baptism, we're not sure here.
But not everyone has been baptized.
Yeah, see, so it's a little difficult to just think it's literal.
Mm-hmm.
Paul's talking about a spiritual baptism into Christ. So if that's true, if you see yourself baptized into Christ, putting on Christ, in other words, immersed in him, there is this leveling or the playing field is suddenly now all the same. There's no individuality. There's no personal distinctive identities. I give up being a Jew. I give up being a Greek. I give up holding on to my female or my maleness.
We look at John 17:21, one of my favorite verses, mm-hmm. where Jesus was proclaiming mm-hmm. that they would be one as you and I are one,
mm-hmm. yeah,
as Jesus and the Father are one. Mm-hmm.
But again, does that mean that in Christ we're nobody? We've lost everything that's distinctive about us?
I wouldn't think so. We still have that, you can't call, you know, the flesh vessel that we are, you can't call that nothing. That was created by the Lord mm-hmm. for a purpose.
Good point.
I know.
But if I look at you, am I focused on you as a vessel? and vice versa? Am I to see you as your individual vessel?
If we're truly focused, if we are truly focused, I look at you or I look at Arnold or David, and I don't see them. I see who they really are, which is Christ.
Okay.
That's if we're focused on them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And let's go back to Paul, where he says, we no longer see people by the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Or he says literally, we no longer judge by the flesh. In other words, use any kind of assessment. Oh, I see that person is dark, white, Jew, Greek, male or female. We don't judge that or judge a person by that. We judge by the fact, oh, we see Jesus.
So how does that fit in to the current fad or the current phrase, which is that we are describing people by pronouns instead of
mm-hmm.
who they really are? Mm-hmm. How does that fit into it?
I have some opinion, but what?
Well, let's
somebody hear else.
Let's hear that opinion.
Boondocks, Arnold.
This isn't about
a debate between Scott and I here this morning.
Yeah. Well, I clearly see myself with white skin and not brown skin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I see myself as a male. Mm-hmm. I have a name that was given to me by my mom and dad.
Right. You know?
And so if some current culture has to call me a they and not a he, you know, it doesn't change the fact that I have white skin,
right?
Or that I'm male. Interesting enough, I've been reading, in effect, I finished it last night, The Revolution, the book that you
read. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's kind of present on my mind that as the Holy Spirit was poured out and 3,000, the apostles were leading 3,000 people in Jerusalem for several years until they had to disperse because mm-hmm. if not, they would get killed. But it would seem like even in Antioch and in Judea, where the church has popped up, and certainly in Jerusalem, that there's no mention of people having a attitude about each other. Mm-hmm. They seem mm-hmm. to be of one mind.
Mm-hmm.
I wondered, you know, during those early years, there must have been people that grumbled, that got mad at somebody. Well, you're a Jew and I don't like that. I don't like the way you do a Passover or something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, the scripture keeps saying they were of one accord. They were, mm-hmm. they seemed to work it out. Or it wasn't even an issue.
Yeah.
You know? So I think something is different and changes for sure as Christ, as the Holy Spirit fills us. Mm-hmm. That he automatically has us be the church, you know. And whatever my individuality can do to help out with the church, that's my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That makes sense, you guys? Yeah.
Hey, Dennis, I think we're missing one thing. We're missing one thing here.
All right.
What's your opinion on it?
We're missing my?
What's your opinion on this?
That's the missing one thing?
Yep.
I have opinions, but I don't necessarily want to dominate with my opinion.
So you're afraid to say what you're...
No, not at all. Let me just catch on here with where Arnold's going. There is a quality as you read about the new church, the first century church. There is a quality about how they were able to be so united. There's a characteristic that you didn't see other places. And that's why Jesus, I think, said, they will know you by how much they see you love one another.
Mm-hmm.
This is how they will be able to detect that you really are authentic followers of me, Jesus. So have we seen that today? Can you really say that we've had anything similar in our society or even in religious circles that approximate that or resemble that at all? Church for me growing up, or let me say the religious community and religious activities pretty much on Sunday was all, it got to be a time where people came on Sunday morning and it was who has the new suit? Who has the new dress? Oh, aren't those ladies pretty? Or how steadily the men can look. It was show and tell morning. It was a lot about, hey, we're all here, we're worshiping, but a lot of individuality was peeking through. And then when it came to making choices about, okay, decisions about church, organization, decisions about who gets to lead what, boy, then you really saw that individuals come out. And I always, as growing up as a boy, I realized church is no different than business. Whoever has the most votes wins. And so it's a popularity contest. We can't let ladies lead, though. Can't let a lady preach. That's bad. Let's see. So there was so much focus on the individual. Why? Where did this come from? And we used to make believe that we could all be united. We'd put on the face and we'd make agreements. Okay, I can agree with you. There's still reservation.
So getting back to the topic.
Mm-hmm. Did we get off topic? I didn't realize it.
What do you think, Dennis?
You ask him for his opinion and then he gives it. And then you're like, let's get back on topic.
That ain't gonna fly. Come on, Dennis. Back me up.
Yeah.
Oh, Scotty.
Yeah. So, Scott, yeah. Are you proud of yourself?
Hmm?
Are you proud of who you are?
Well, there's only one person that I am. And yes, I'm very proud of it.
Okay. Yeah.
That's good.
Are you guard your privacy and your and your individuality? Excuse me.
Yes.
What's that?
Oh, David's saying, yes, he does.
What's individuality? What is that?
So how much of what do you like about yourself that you want to preserve and want to guard?
What do I like about my physical self?
Physical, mental, social, your whole being.
And what do I want to preserve?
What do you guard? What's yours? And you don't want to let other people take it from you or interfere.
My belief. My okay. Beliefs.
Yeah.
I'll guard that to the day I die.
All right. How about your circles of fellowship or social?
I'd throw you guys under the bus in a heartbeat.
Is what?
I would throw you guys under the bus in a heartbeat.
I feel that.
There's an honest man. I tell you, I have not seen an honest man like that before.
I value the fellowship that I have.
Yeah.
In fact, I was just talking with another guy at work this past week. I didn't know he was even a believer until I saw him in the locker room and he was going through it, you know, going through his scripture.
Wow. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. I never would have known. I
mean, do you see that?
Someone who doesn't advertise.
Mm-hmm.
You advertise.
You see a conversation developing here with him?
Well, eventually, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But you're pretty proud of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that being individualistic?
I don't think so, because a lot of who I am is through Christ and not
mm-hmm.
through anything I've done.
Are you proud that you're an Anglo white male Protestant?
I had no choice in that matter.
I didn't say we had a choice. I said, are you proud of it?
God created me. I'm proud of that.
Okay. All right. Are you glad you're not a Jew? Or?
Yeah, they're too legalistic.
Too legalistic. Male?
Like I say, I'm proud of the way God made me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So God made this vessel a certain way.
All right.
And wouldn't I be dishonoring him or being totally arrogant if I wasn't grateful and proud for mm-hmm. what he gave me?
Okay. Yeah. But how do you see yourself in Jesus then? Where those things aren't at all important or they disappear?
I see myself the way Jesus sees me.
Okay. So you are somebody, not a nobody.
Mm-hmm.
So you are somebody in Jesus.
He's finally getting somewhere here.
finally getting through.
Yeah. No. I'm finally seeing the backup you said you were going to give to me.
Oh, yeah. So the point you were making, we're on this push for individuality in our country.
Mm-hmm.
And you think that's behind some of the emphasis on pronouns and gender changes.
Ever since the fall, ever since the Garden of Eden,
mm-hmm.
there's been that desire, that push to be an individual.
Sure.
To be, what was the lies of the accuser, the lies of Satan when he was,
mm-hmm.
you know, when he presented the option to Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Because God knows when you eat of it that you will be like him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, today we can understand that. So, well, they were already like him.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, they didn't know that.
So this quest to be like God, what's at the heart of that? What's at the root of that quest? I want to be like God.
Remember, Satan said the same thing.
Well, that's okay. So does it come from him?
I think Satan was just stating the lie that he believed himself.
Okay, so this, we can trace the root or the beginning of that back to him, can't we?
Mm-hmm.
And then how did Adam and Eve buy into that?
Well, they bought into the lie that he told them.
Okay, which is?
Which is what I just told you.
No, which is?
The tree of knowledge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that
bravo, Arnold.
That I, as an individual, can be the same as God. That I mm-hmm. can be like God. I.
Well, in reality, well, we have to look at that through another lens, because you know, for a while we said Adam and Eve were given the choice, or mm-hmm. Satan mm-hmm. gave them that choice. Where they could be like God. But we said, well, no, they were already like God.
And so,
no, wait.
Yeah.
They weren't. That wasn't, they weren't already like God. Because, well, like you said, like you just said, they had that mindset where if I take of this fruit, I will be like God. So it still had that individual aspect. So
isn't the lie that you can be an individual and be like God and you can still be your own individual?
Yeah.
Isn't because, that the essence of the lie?
Yeah. Because what you're basically doing mm-hmm. is you're distancing yourself from God.
If there is, in fact, a difference or a separation, mm-hmm. we've identified that as probably that's the essence of sin, the thinking that you're separate from God.
Yeah, we had this conversation right back when we first got started in this.
Many, many times we've had this conversation. Yeah. Because it's at the core
mm-hmm.
of knowing or understanding this revelation. It begins with making that decision. Am I trying to be like God as an individual, or am I already in essence united and a manifestation of Him?
Question.
Yeah.
So why were we created as individuals, and why did God go to the trouble? And it's in the Bible that we are uniquely, each of us is unique mm-hmm. and made, He designed us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why emphasize that?
Okay.
It would still be sinful to recognize that.
Yeah. Because God doesn't, okay. Here's how I'd answer it. If I am God, do I want to show who I am in the same appearance everywhere? Do I want to show myself through the same look, appearance, sex, culture, the same identity throughout the world? Millions and millions of stormtroopers. All look the same. Mm-hmm. All have the same job. Basically, they're drones or droids. I guess that's more. Is that who we have a picture of God?
I mentioned something?
No.
Depending how we see our identity,
mm-hmm.
the flesh that God created us,
mm-hmm.
that's not tied to our identity, who we really are.
Yes, what's or no.
What's tied to our identity is our spirit in Him.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say earlier.
Yeah. Okay. But
now what do you mean by yes?
Point is, as far as if you are God, who is not, you can't see God, He's not known and seen, and He wants to show up in His creation. Is He going to show up through the same thing everywhere? Or is He going to show up in a infinite variety,
careful,
of inanimate and animate objects? Is He going to show up? And Paul says, we have no excuse because we can see God in everything. We can see Him manifested, His attributes, who He is, His power, mm-hmm. clearly seen. And the most unique and most the top of the creative pile, if you will, is man. And man is the one who's created to show God as person. Rocks can't show God as person. Neither can trees. and barely can human than animals. But man is uniquely created to show personhood. And all the different varieties of people show the same God.
Okay, I have a question.
Sure.
Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image.
Mm-hmm.
In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them.
Mm-hmm.
Now tell me, Dennis, if you would, what is God's image?
You.
Human.
Okay, David Fundak resemble God as well? Is that his image?
Yeah, it's a pretty good looking image.
Well, I didn't say it wasn't, but Arnold. Is Arnold God's image?
Arnold, do you feel like you're God's image?
Wasn't the question.
You know, we've gone over and over this many times. It's like, yes, I'm the face of God. Mm-hmm. Scott is. Mm-hmm. David is.
Okay. Yeah. You know,
every one of us, mm-hmm. I don't think we need to keep beating the dead horse, so to speak.
Right.
Well, I wasn't asking. That's why the question was to Dennis.
Yeah.
So okay, so I went through the verse, God created man in his own image.
Uh-huh.
Does that mean we look at anybody else, me, you,
mm-hmm.
anybody else that we see, and that's the image of God?
That's absolutely not, Scott.
Good Lord, how many faces does he have?
Well, he's got how many people are there?
Millions.
You know?
And isn't that
what is your question, Scott? What are you driving at?
Yeah.
The question that I have for Dennis.
Well, for me too, what is your question?
What is his image?
You, me, each one of us on this call right now.
Yes.
Now do you think something different than that?
Is it this? Is it the flesh? Or is it the spirit within us?
No, it's the flesh, God.
Okay. Okay.
You can't see my spirit. Well, Scott, you can't see my spirit. All you see is my face.
Yeah.
You know? So
the scripture also tells us that we will not see the Lord except through those who believe in him.
I'm not sure where you got that, but it sounds like you've mashed a couple of scriptures together or something, but I don't know where that is. If you can find that, please let us know
you know I will.
Okay. But we are the image of God in a multitude of varieties. But the point of this morning is, do we focus on that variety, the flesh appearance, as distinctive as to who we are? In other words, is that important identification, or is there something else that identifies us that's more the substance?
Okay, that's what we're tying our boat to, is mm-hmm. that our flesh, our physical resemblance, that's the image of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, there. Now I feel better.
But in substance, we're all the same. And that substance is Christ.
So Dennis, when I told you about reading the book Revelation, and I recommend mm-hmm. it, is that during those first years, and the apostles were kind of directing it. They served as elders, and they served as prophets, and they served as administrators.
Mm-hmm.
And it became completely indifferent to about 3,000 people.
Right.
And that seemed to carry over into Judea and then even into Antioch, where mm-hmm. there were non-Jews. I mean, it was entirely a different group of people with a different heritage.
Right.
And it didn't seem to make any difference there either when filled with God's Spirit. It comes down to that it really doesn't matter to me mm-hmm. today. that there is a difference, and I don't need to debate that. The world out there can go around and around and talk about pronouns and, you know, what sex a person is or whatever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In Christ, it doesn't make a difference because we are one. Paul says that right here.
Exactly.
That for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, we started with that verse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. It also says in the end, he sees our heart.
Right.
He doesn't see our behavior, or what God sees is our heart. And that's what matters. We as people see the differences and the individuality.
Mm-hmm.
He's our heart, and our heart is basically our spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's what links us when we're of one accord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we can.
Yes.
Isn't it, as you point out, Arnold, have we seen in our religious communities today that type of an accord, that type of unanimity?
No, we don't obviously see that. And we seem to be kind of scattered when it comes to that, even though in this group of conversation, it's become less important.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, I suspect in those early communities, a Jew could walk in, a Gentile could walk in, male or female, and no one made any difference. No one cast a light on, oh, you're a Jew, okay? We have a section over here for Jews.
Yeah.
You didn't see that.
Ironically, I've experienced that, you know, like that oneness or that kinship more in just the world and, you know, going to a different country or being with different cultures or people who were strangers until you start talking, rather than in church. Not that I haven't experienced it in church. Mm-hmm. It's not the same. It's not very often.
Interesting, Beth. You would think the religious community would show first or be able to show it in the best way, but we, as far as an institution, we've made a horrible mess out of it.
Yeah, I personally have stepped away from any kind of an organized church for the last about 7 years, seven, 8 years.
Same.
It's really only out of stepping out of that context could I even have a conversation this morning with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it was emphasized at the churches I was participating and active in.
Sure.
There's a whole bunch of difference, like you said, Dennis, between a good male pastor and maybe a female that, or someone that came on and was sympathetic to the gay community.
Right.
You know, that would just, tiptoeing then.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, at the point in which the church tried to stand up as an advocate for one of those causes, it basically shot itself in the foot.
Yep.
I remember when New Hope tried to come on the side of what was the anti-gay marriage or whatever. I forget what the Reformation
was. Yeah, that was when Oregon had the same-sex marriage thing.
Yeah, it shot New Hope in the foot. And Ray wisely, he was head over heels involved in the campaigning statewide, was on the state committee for that whole movement, and then recognized after it was all done that was the biggest mistake of his life, because it polarized, it marginalized, it came back in ways that was not redemptive. So what I'm getting at is, as soon as the church takes sides in that flesh, those flesh distinctives, male, female, same sex, whatever. Those are all part of the jargon today of people trying to push for who they think they want to be.
Yeah. I wish Andy and Christy were here because I spoke with them this week, and they've been doing a lot of in-depth reading and stuff, and they were telling me, because we were talking about why is it considered, like a man can't talk to, a married man can't talk to a single female in the church, mm-hmm. It would be considered improper, or how you have to always do the appropriate church side hug and all of that stuff. And they were pointing out that there were like three women who walked around and traveled around with Jesus. You just picture them as all, as all men.
Yeah.
But three women, and it was in no way inappropriate.
Yeah.
But we have these hard and fast rules in our church culture, and don't know where they come from. It wasn't really laid out in the Bible.
This is where that book Pagan Christianity comes in, Dennis.
Yeah.
But I feel like Scott follows that because he's yet to recognize me. He would say, well, I see Christ in Dennis and David and Arnold. And it's like, oh. And then, you're trying to make your point, but yet.
I might have to recant that.
maybe I confuse your premise or something. I don't know.
Well, we as a religious culture, institution, Christianity, I think, has done a very poor job. We have lost this unanimity. We don't know what that means, really. We are still very much about supporting individual rights.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do so, we allow ourselves to violate the very premise that we are all one in Christ. That does not mean that we disqualify people as male or female, Jew or Gentiles. Those things are given to us by God.
You know what? One small thing that I take away as being a positive for the Catholic Church, when something like this happens, like with the gay rights movement, the same-sex, same-sex marriage, that right. kind of thing, most, if not all, the churches in this country will take a hard stand and say, no, that's not mm-hmm. what we're supposed mm-hmm. to be doing. The Vatican, on the other hand, will come out and put out a statement and say, this is what humanity needs to understand.
Mm-hmm.
They don't put it out there as, thou shalt not. They, for some reason, and whenever they speak out on something like that, they include everyone.
Yeah.
Insane.
My contention, and this, I'm not assuming everybody believes the same way, but my contention is the church is probably the biggest contributor to homosexuality there was. And the reason I say that is because, as Scott just alluded to, who has spoken more against that community than the Christian church?
Mm-hmm.
But in doing so, they've actually aggravated it. And how that happens is when you attack the symptom, this is what you get. You aggravate it, you explode it. And rather than not, if the church had recognized Christianity had recognized early on, which I myself as pastor teacher, if I had recognized, wait a minute, let's not talk about the symptom. Let's talk about the root of who we really are. If we had been teaching people who they really are as Jesus, that derails any of this quest for individuality, quest for who, I'm going to stand up for my own feelings and all of that, that doesn't come into the picture if we understand who we are in Christ. And this is what Paul is saying. See, Paul is talking about the hatred of the Jew against the Gentile. And he's saying, that is the symptom. That is not what we're talking about. We're talking about all being one together in Jesus.
When New Hope took that stand, Dennis, you know, against the gay marriage mm-hmm. law, mm-hmm. remember the protests that we had outside the,
you know, outside the church? Sure. No, that's what I'm saying, Scott. We stepped right into the trap of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
When you want to deal with symptoms, this is what you get. Yeah. Then you got to come up with another treatment to treat the symptom, and it just proliferates. Mm-hmm. The core of the issue is helping people understand the identity, flesh identity, is not the critical issue. It's who we really are as Christ. Now, if he chooses to identify himself through a male, a female, Jew or Gentile, that's what he gives us. But they are not the markers of who we really are.
Yeah. It's not the true identity.
No.
What is it that Paul says you can boast about? If I boast of anything, it's
yeah.
No, I mean, I'm asking.
Well, go to Philippians. And he talks about he had every right to be boastful. Well, actually, excuse me, not Philippians, it's Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. He had every right to be boastful because he surpassed them all. I was the best Jew. I mean, he really got boastful. I was trained by the best.
But then he said boast in, what is, how does he word it?
What is the exact phrase? Basically, and I'm paraphrasing, he only boasts in the fact that
Christ.
He is Christ. Yeah, I forget how he exactly says it. I need to go back and look at that.
Yeah.
But there, I mean, there it is. That's it. Mm-hmm. And so that's really all we have. And yet we have patriotism. We have nationalism. We have, you know, pride from being white, or pride from being hetero,
right?
Or pride from, I mean, you name it, it goes on and on. And I just, you know, it's like,
that's how you identify yourself.
Yeah, and you're right on, Beth. That's what we've gotten into. All these different ways that we are individuals and proud of it. And the church, Christianity, has bought into trying to support that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I don't understand, like, Scott, why you, like, think the Catholic Church is lucky to have the Vatican tell them what to do and how to think.
No, I didn't. That's not what I said. I said what I respected just a little bit about the Catholic Church is when an issue like that comes around, where for the gay marriage or some social issue, a lot of the churches in this country, if not all of them, will be criticizing it. And more times than not, the Vatican is going to put out a statement which includes everybody being the same under God and not being individuals on one side or the other.
I guess I don't recall those statements.
Yeah. You'd be well if you could give us examples of that, Scott. Yeah, where the Catholic Church has come out in being more, I think what you're saying is they've been more inclusive. Well, all right.
Yeah. The most recent Pope, yeah, but he's very different.
Yes, he's not well liked by the Catholic
Church. Well, he's no John Paul, I'll give you that much.
That's right. But the point of this morning's conversation, hopefully, and our takeaway is that If we focus on individualism, we focus upon our quest for identity, we lose the picture. We lose the substance of who we really are. In Christ, we don't identify ourselves that way. There's only one identifier, and that's Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
As Scott pointed out in his blog, and I want to reiterate, there is only one self. True self in the universe.
Yeah, that was
a hard. This is a hard thing for people to understand. I wrote about it. I think it's chapter 6 in my book. There is no independent self.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such thing. And what we see happening today is this quest to emphasize the individual self. Mm-hmm. There is no such thing. There's one self. Bible says there's one self, the I am. And it's God. He's the only self.
That's what Mr. Grubb said.
And it's such a, it's a really, really fundamental issue for us to get a hold of. And that's how we see ourselves more uniquely and fully as Christ, because that's the only self I really am. Now, how it shows its, how Christ shows himself through my flesh is a multitude of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Gender, social class, those are all the multitude ways. Ethnicity, yeah. That's the amazing thing of God.
Yeah. It's not God. It's not God who is separating his creation by ethnicity or sex. Or, that's us. We're the ones that are doing
that. We do the separation with God. That's just how he chooses to show himself.
Mm-hmm. Right. But then we boast in it.
Yes. Oh, yeah. There you go, sister. That's it. Yeah. We become proud of it.
That's what we do.
And not look back and say, wow, God, you've chosen to show yourself through me as an African, through an American, through, you know, whatever, Latin American, whatever.
You know, Scott, you just said that's what we do. You know, no, that's not what I do. I've become indifferent to it.
Yeah.
I don't dwell on that. I don't even buy into what mm-hmm. you see on Fox or MSNBC or whatever. I don't engage in that conversation.
Exactly.
I don't think those of us that are in Christ dwell on that as we recognize more and more that we are one. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to say that's what we do. That's not what I do. It's not. Yeah.
We're all the same underneath the hood.
Yeah.
Hey, yes. I like that.
Yes.
So yeah. I'll leave you with this, and it may be for your own pondering, and we may come back to it. And it was about a year ago that we got into this subject, but I don't know if we really fully expounded it well. Paul ends this passage in his chapter. Well, for him, there was no chapter, but this his section here. Chapter 3. Verse 29, now if you are all Christ, consequently you are all of Abraham's seed, enjoyers of the allotment according to the promise.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever thought of, if you've asked God to bless you, you know why God has a problem answering that prayer?
I've already did it.
I'll leave you with it. You know, the church here again is an example in my mind of how the church has promoted individualism and forgotten. Mm-hmm. And I lay it at the feet of the English translators. They missed this whole point. And you can read the third chapter of Paul. Paul says, there is only one that has the blessing. Mm. That's Christ. He is the seed of Abraham. English translators in our Bibles called descendants. That's not correct. They're not true to Paul's teaching here. There's one seed, and that seed is who had the blessing, the promise of Abraham, or God through Abraham, and to his seed, singular. Huh. Honor that, okay? And we've taught the blessings are there. Pray for God's blessing and God's favor. And well, I think we've missed the point. Anyway, have a great week, everybody.
Thank you.
You too.
Yes. Thank you.
It's good today.
It looks like we hounded Scott long enough. He dropped off.
Oh, really?
Oh, you were talking.
We love you, Brother Scott. All right, guys. Have a great week. All right,
we'll see y'all.
Yeah.
Take care.
Take care.